When wickedness in the world and within ourselves causes us to lament as God does, we are on our way to becoming wise. Proverbs 8:13. Saul and David's relationship came together when David took down the giant Goliath, when no one else in Israel would rise up to the occasion out of fear. Saul would rise up from deep within himself of fear of David, as quickly David's deeds became known to the people, and his love towards the Lord God became evident in what he did. Saul's fear arose out of his own disobedience to God, the same path that we are known to take today. Saul failed to fully carry out God's commands, and for this reason God would reject him then as king. Daniel 2:21, he changes times and seasons, he disposes kings and he raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. God would now raise up for Israel a king who was unlike any other. God would raise up a young shepherd boy named David, who would grow to become a man after God's own heart. In other words, David sought to follow the Lord and to do as he was commanded, understanding that there would be a cost, and he was willing to pay it because he knew that the Lord walked with him, that he answered his prayers and his requests, that the Lord had and would bless the king, the people, the land, and that without the Lord everything would fall into darkness as it had in the past and would again in the future. But it is in the nature of men to wander from the Lord, even as David would when full of lust, and he disobeyed the truth. And to this God said to David, I gave you your master's house, your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and Judah, and if all of this had been too little, I would have given you even more. 1 Samuel 12:8. How quickly we forget that he alone is everything that we need to live and sustain an abundant and fruitful life. And instead, we will try to get ahead, try to get it done our way, work and plan, scheme and devise to make things come out for us and whomever we deem necessary to bring with us, believing that the Lord will bless it because we entered into what we had done for the right reasons. Fear is a powerful emotion. There is the fear of having and keeping something, and the fear of not having enough because we know that there's more out there and we want the comforts of it for ourselves. Both of these thoughts spring up from the same branch on the same tree. They both display a lack of faith and of trust. Greed and pride are revealed in the hearts of people that entertain these fears. Adam and Eve did not know fear until they disobeyed the Lord God and ate from the tree in the middle of the garden, the only tree in the garden that they were told not to eat the fruit of. But temptation provided a way for them, and they entertained it by taking and eating of the fruit, both of them. Fear will separate you from peace. Envy alongside jealousy will harden your heart. Hatred leads to deceit and betrayal. Jeremiah says it all in chapter 1 verse 15. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. But God gave us a way out of the swirling waters before they could pull us down. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear but of power and love and self-control. He gave to us the power to say no to the things that are against God's will, whether they are things that we're going to do to ourselves or those things that we're contemplating doing to others. That is what love and self-control are. They work in tandem to keep us on the straight and narrow path. And how often do we accommodate ourselves with the thoughts that what I'm doing or did is not anywhere as bad as what they did? We have bought into the lie that there are big sin issues and little sin issues, disregarding the fact that the word and thought of sin as it is the real issue. Sin is, after all, thought, action, and deed that is contrary to the will of God. So how do we know the will of God? We know through the preparation we have taken in times of trouble, in times of peace, in times of study and solitude and prayer, and we have sought the face of the Lord, sought him out in his word to know more of him, to be drawn closer to him, and to grow in our relationship with him. In these things, his ways are revealed to us, leading us to seek the paths of the Lord, the ways of the Lord, and the help of the Lord, When we stumble and find ourselves then in times of trouble or in need of his guidance, our disobedience comes when we tweak what he has told us or we readjust what he has set for us to do, and in that we believe that we have decided will please him. We are so easily caught up today in fear. Fear today is presented to us as a means of keeping us safe. If you do not listen to the experts, you will in all probability die. In the breaking of our covenant with the Lord, we have placed our trust in men. Do they not proclaim that they want what's best for us? Will they not lead us to green pastures, times of prosperity, to streams of living water, increase in our cash flow? Will they not fight for our peace? We've got what you need. When you need it, just come to us and we will take care of you until we won't, dividing you up between the haves and the haves not. For many years now, this division has been pushed to the limits, and today the attack on trust has no equal. No one trusts anyone anymore. Children mistrust their parents, parents the church the culture, and the culture the government. Trust has been replaced with dependence on think-alike relationships with identities and such likes. And if you believe as I do, then I can trust you. And if you don't, then you have become my enemy. But Paul writes to the church in Rome in Romans 8 and 15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery that returns you to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption to sonship, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. When you raise up a people who no longer have a reverent fear of the Lord, who believe that he says what he will do and do what he says and is just in all of his ways, then you will have raised up a people who are ripe for slavery, and who will willingly walk in and allow the shackles to be put on them. We are that generation. Unfortunately, for many of us, we have fallen again and again, and each time we rise up, we take the strength the Lord has given us, we run on it for a time, and eventually we begin to look through our own eyes again, and because we made it the last time, and because we learned a little something new, we believe that this time we got it, and we can make it over the hump called our trouble. And the Lord will be pleased with our maneuvering and bless the situation. Where is the wisdom in our logic? Where is the self-control that we sought? Why have we not yet learned how to use what has been given us, and we so easily cast it aside for the greater things before us? Unnatural things are so blatantly happening today. There is not much that is being done under the cover of darkness anymore. We are forewarned of the coming events, but they are so far ahead of our thinking that we believe them to be fantasy until they're not. 100 years ago, do you believe that people could have considered changing their sex? And that men would want to become women to the point of changing anatomically and using force to make others believe the lie that they live? That they would strip down to the very core of their soul and flaunt their wares in the streets and demand admiration from all, including the children. This is just one example of the troubles that pursue a culture, a generation of people that have turned their back on God and decided to go their own way, make their own path, and call upon the Lord to bless them in their disobedience. The division that is upon us will consume us if we do not return to the Lord as an individual in our rags covered in our sin. As a church, if we do not remember our first love and recommit ourselves to the Lord our God and his Son Jesus, who is the Christ. As a nation, filthy, covered in shame and sin for the things we have allowed to be done in the name of justice, but in truth has by the very nature made slaves of all within her. You who call yourselves Christians, my brothers and sisters, it all begins with you. Without you standing for righteousness or standing firmly on the word of the Lord, and if you do not really believe what you claim to believe and are living a lie, soon that claim will be confronted by fear, and fear will drive love into your, will drive the love from your heart, and you will be the worse for it. After having heard the truth, but refusing the power behind it, you are now entertaining fear in your life, and fear will separate you from all you know to be true. Heavenly Father, the divisions were once very broad, but today we are seeing the divisions within the divisions, and the chaos arising comes loudly and boldly racing towards us. Lord, you have given us the power to stand and stand firmly. We have only to put our trust and our faith in you, for you will see us through to the end, however and whenever that may be. Lord, deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name, amen.